Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. Michael, this afternoon I thought we'd do just a good old-fashioned good news update.
Sounds great.
Just kind of, it's been forever since we just kind of ran through. And, you know, when we first started the good news updates a number of years ago, we would just talk about kind of all the different areas and the fun things that are happening. And
yes.
So often there are so many other topics to explore in the good news update that we don't really get to hear all the fun, inspiring things that are happening all
over.
So I thought we'd just run through it today.
Great.
So I wanted to start with a really fun one here at the monastery, which is that we've got a very talented, bright young fellow in the Sangha who has taken a real interest in sustainability sorts of things and really leading edge kinds of exciting things like using old pallets to make amazing buildings and composting toilets and really kind of innovative gardening techniques that use very, very little water and are kind of in the end become completely self-sustaining sort of systems.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really, really exciting, fun stuff. And he was up here recently and showed us some videos on a bunch of it and really has some exciting dreams for long-term plans for the monastery expanding its role as a sustainability center and even a place where people could come and learn about these sorts of things and, you know, that sort of thing. So he's been coming up fairly regularly to the monastery, really generously donating his time and using the land to experiment with different things and building stuff all over. And really, really fun to watch him. He goes out to, you know, we have places where we store old materials because, you know, you never know who's, you know, we might use them for something and you don't want to throw them in the landfill. And he is putting them together, making these really cool things. He made a really neat stove when he was here recently. But I don't want to go into too much detail because one of the fun things about it is that we've decided we're going to feature him regularly on the Good News Update.
Oh, great.
Yeah, to kind of tell us about, okay, what's the next step and where are we now with this venture? Because I think it would be a really fun thing for people to follow along with and learn about.
Yeah.
So he's going to be hopefully with us next week for the Good News Update. So,
oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
So we'll get to hear straight from him kind of what he's up to and his vision and all that.
Great.
So that's here at home. I think people are probably familiar with, we have a group of folks who we call the stewards of practice, who are people who have been practicing for a long, long time and have really stepped forward to help carry practice forward, if you will, in various different areas. And a really fun new frontier with that is that someone has taken on selling the books, what we call Keep It Simple. So selling Sherry's books and CDs and that kind of thing.
Yes.
And so she's going to be doing that, which is really a huge, obviously it's a huge benefit to the whole Sangha because then people can access Sherry's teachings through the books and CDs and that sort of thing. And at least for me, you know, when I go to buy something like that, I want to support the source, you know. I mean,
yeah,
sure, I could get it from Amazon,
right,
you know, free shipping in 2 days or whatever, but
at what
price, really? And so it really is a service, it feels like, that someone is willing to do the labor, really a labor of love of offering to be the person who is the source for all of us to go to and order those sorts of things.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
great.
It's good. And, I mean, one of the reasons it's so great is that really at the monastery, those of us who are living here, you know, we need to be focused on offering practice in the form of keeping the physical home of practice going.
Yeah.
And gardening and offering retreats and cooking and cleaning and building and all that comes with that.
Yeah.
So we can get a little stretched in terms of that also needing to be the source of ordering books and that kind of thing. So, yeah. So it's a blessing that she's doing that.
That's
really
great. That's
really
great.
Beautiful. And I think it's what it shows is how, you know, stewards coming forward to take practice really assist practice, and I project, you know, really assist the stewards, of course, because we all know that when we're being practice, when we're kind of offering practice in whatever way we're doing that, that's such a boost to our own practice.
Yes, and when we see it as our practice, then it becomes important for me to make my contribution to do what it takes to make sure it's there for the next person who comes along.
Such a good point in the year of you know, the cooperative of practice, but it is our practice.
Yes.
My practice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so what do I want to do? Because think of before the day I stepped, you know, foot in the door for the first time, how many people had come before me? I mean, and we can talk about in this Sangha, or we can go all the way 2,500 years ago.
Yep. Yep.
How many people have done what they've done for practice?
Yes.
Made it available so that the day I found it, the rich resource that was already there waiting for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And what just occurred to me is, who in the future is relying on my courage now to show up and be present and make a contribution?
That is beautifully put. Who in the future is relying on my courage now to be willing to step forward? Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, awareness, as I like to say.
Thank you, awareness, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, Africa, very dear to all of our hearts.
Yes.
You know, it's easy to forget, at least it is for me. Here we are doing all these things here in the United States, and for us at the end of this dirt road in Murphy's, California, that meanwhile, the folks in Cantalomba are out there feeding 800 children every single day.
Wow.
I know. And so they're continuing to do it. And really fun things. I write about it in the newsletter every month, so I usually give the highlights there. But just really, the English program is doing so well. There's a woman in the Sangha who has stepped forward to really help us captain the next wave of the English program.
Oh, great. And
she's having just a lovely time of, you know, it's that place where we step forward to say we want to do something and then all of the universe gets behind us to help. And she's, you know, she's had all these synchronicities with just, you know, being able to go to this class to learn about this and that, and just being trained to how do you offer English in a, you know, as a second language. And so that's been a really fun process, and we're in the process of looking into our tickets for our next trip.
Oh, good.
Yeah, which will be in August.
Oh, great.
So it's a long time to wait for blogs, isn't it?
Yeah, for a blog lover like myself.
I know. It's been a little bit of a dry season with the blogs. I'm sorry about that, Michael.
That's all right. And but, with the English program, is it five-year-olds you're working with now?
Yes. So the preschool program, which is what Phil started, and we're crossing our fingers that she's going to be able to join us to root that program even further and to offer. So now the five-year-olds are graduating, if you will, and they go off to government school, but they come back to us for lunch. And so what we're looking at is, okay, how do we keep them immersed in this English language program even after they're not with us quite as many hours in the day? So that'll be the task that Phil has in front of her, the challenge she has. And then the other piece of it that this other woman is going to be taking on, and I'm sure we'll have her on the Good News Updates as well to be talking about it hopefully soon, is really, really, right now we're thinking to have a conversational focus, because often what we realized is that people have a fair amount of English kind of in theory behind them, but in terms of just us walking up as an American person, you know, in our accent and that kind of thing, very difficult to have a conversation.
I see.
And of course, in terms of economic potential and opportunity, that's what you need. You know,
right.
You need to be able to interact fluently and comfortably in English, be able to understand what someone's saying to you in a British accent, in an American accent, in a South African accent, and to be able to speak in a way that someone in all of those places can understand you.
Right.
And so that's going to be a big focus, I think, in that piece of it, which will probably be, I mean, we're still working out the details, but will probably be some of the older children and the young adults, I think, will be the big audience for those programs.
Great.
Yeah, so that's exciting. And then last but not least, back here at home, spring has sprung, with the exception of a very big snowstorm, which I think, was that last week or the week before? I can't remember. But it was really, it's fun because it's, gosh, we've had just beautiful, beautiful weather. I mean, today was stunning.
Wow.
Probably low 60 degrees, just
nice
warm air coming through. Everything is green. The flowers are coming
little
out.
Buds starting
little
to come out.
Everywhere. The lilac tree, the red bud trees, everything is springing. And then suddenly, in the middle of that, we got the first real snow we've had in, I want to say, a couple of years, probably.
Uh-huh.
We had a good 4 or 5 inches, and it was just beautiful.
Yeah, there was one picture that came out in the monastery newsletter.
In the newsletter, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. So, I don't know. It doesn't seem to have confused the flowers much. It could just be plugging right along. And we do have another storm coming in tomorrow where there's a few flurries, possibly, in the forecast. But, but for the most part, it's really quite beautiful. And with that, of course, comes getting ready for retreat season.
Fabulous.
Yeah, it's really fun. That's where we start to wake up the hermitages. They're all undercover right now. Everything's covered in sheets. You know, like you see in the movies when someone goes away from their summer cottage.
Uh-huh.
And they throw sheets over everything. And all of them are very nicely put to bed for the winter.
I see.
And we're just about to start waking them up and doing all the repairs and shifting up our, making sure our menu's in shape and, you know, just getting everything all ready for the family to come on back.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. I plan to be there myself.
Excellent. Very good. So we'll hang your name on one of the
hermits. Okay. Okay, good.
So that's about all we have time for, Michael.
Perfect. Thank you for all that great good news.
You're most welcome. Thanks for making the space for it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Have a great show.
Okay. Thank you,
all
Jen.
Right. Good night.
Good night. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hi, Michael.
Hi. How
are
you?
We have an exciting practice, don't we?
Yes, we do.
I'm doing great. I was just walking around the monastery in that beautiful weather that Jen described, seeing all the gorgeous stuff. And, it's good. How are you?
Oh, I'm great.
Good.
Yeah, it's fun to participate. Fun to participate in Good News Update.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes.
All right. Well, did she give away everything, or do you have
We have a couple announcements.
All right.
The retreat on resistance with you, Sherry, and Ashwini. It's entitled "I Don't Want to, I Don't Feel Like It." Despite the name, it's filling up quite quickly.
Yes.
It's a brand new retreat.
It might be full, but that's okay. We don't want to discourage anybody. They can. Contact us and find out.
Yes. Well, I'm told that the one at the monastery is sold out, but there's still a few openings in North Carolina.
Ah, okay, good.
Yes. And the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat will be offered at the monastery April 13th through 20th.
Gonna be gorgeous.
Gonna be gorgeous. It's an extraordinary, life-changing retreat, a great first retreat, and a wonderful retreat to repeat.
Repeat.
And it focuses on the joyous, fulfilling, and courageous work of freeing oneself from self-hate.
Mm-hmm. And the essential work, right? It's essential. We're really not going to go anywhere until we put that little misery to rest.
Yes, yes. Mm. And so subtle, I've noticed.
Places to hide that we don't know exist.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's why we keep on practicing to ferret it out and send it on its way.
Yes. I've noticed kind of any kind of feeling bad must be traced back to that self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's another brand new retreat that's open for registration, Be the Person You Want to Find. Retreat is 4 days, May 22nd through the 26th. Be held in the beauty of nature at the monastery. And it's about bringing awareness to relationships. And it's based on your book, Sherry, by the same name.
Yes, and I'm glad you said that, because that title could mislead people. It really is a relationship workshop. So... I don't want people to be fooled into thinking that that's not what's going on. I mean, it's true. It's going to be focused on being the person we want to find, and it's relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Internal, external, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of them.
And visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to see the new schedule or to sign up for any of these events. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So let's get started.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bernice.
Oh, hello, Bernice. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I managed not to hang up.
Very good. Very good. We're off to a great start.
Yeah. I have called a number of times and have not managed to hang on. Although
we have talked before, haven't we?
We have.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, good.
Yes.
Good. You always like to, check those things out in case I'm hallucinating.
No.
And we want to establish that early on. But I remember us talking.
Yeah.
Okay, what's going
it's
on?
It's been a few months, I think. It's kind of an ongoing thing for me, and we have somebody living with who has mental illness living with us,
mm-hmm.
and I'm actually been wondering if you have a kind of a Zen perspective on kind of severe mental illness. I see it myself as kind of a very extreme version of what we're learning in terms of voices and
is it schizophrenia that you're talking about?
Pardon me?
Is it the form that it takes, schizophrenia?
It's bipolar and schizoaffective, which is kind of borderline schizophrenia. So there's paranoid delusions and voices and then the mm-hmm. symptoms of bipolar as well. And there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of medication involved, and there's a question about how much the medication is affecting the person as well. So,
right. Where does the illness leave off and the treatment begins doing more harm than it's doing good?
Right, and so there's a wish to get rid of all the medication, but that there's a fear of what will be the repercussions with that, and it's like nobody knows really.
Right, and is this person able to have my wish, if I were in that person's shoes, that somebody would say, we'd like to try getting you off these medications, but we don't know what would happen if we did. So would you be open to going somewhere where you would be safe and everybody else would be safe and to go through a process of slowly coming off of medication?
I'm sure he'd be thrilled, actually,
mm-hmm.
because he's, he talks about, the medication's not working and wanting to get off them all the time. And
mm-hmm. And you can't tell whether that's part of the illness or it's legitimate.
It's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's
well. I think where you started out is absolutely accurate. It's hard to tell with all of us. Right?
What do you mean? But
it's hard. It's hard to tell with him. It's hard for him to tell. It's hard
mm-hmm.
for anybody else to tell. It's hard for all of us to tell what's going
on.
Yeah, and that I think you're right, that what he's experiencing is, if we're looking at a continuum, each one of us is somewhere along the continuum.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably farther in one direction or the other than you and I.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're honest, there's nothing he's experiencing that we don't experience. It's just that we have, currently at least, maybe temporarily, a greater ability not to identify with it.
Exactly. That's
not to act it out.
There's really a lot of difficulty for him in distancing himself. It's all outside. It's all outside him. So
isn't that true with everybody?
Yeah.
That's what we're all doing all
right,
the time.
Yeah.
And if it's not that you're my problem, or he's not, or they're not, it's that circumstances are. Right? So
right.
It's the circumstances that are my problem. But it's a hard sell for anybody to accept that actually it's my karma that is the difficulty that I'm facing.
Which I'm wondering if I can ask another quick question because I don't really understand karma.
Well, we'll do the kind of fundamental Zen. There is no you. That's an illusion created by not being able to pay close enough attention to a set of processes that are going on rapid fire.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're conditioned from an early age to experience ourselves as, I mean, we have the ability, and then we're conditioned to experience ourselves as outside of life, looking at life.
Mm-hmm.
We don't experience ourselves as coming into being as a part of life. We can pay lip service to that, but nobody believes it, right? Yes. Everybody believes, you know, I'm me, and I'm real. I'm real. I'm not just a set of processes that are in motion and now are operating under their own steam, creating an illusion that there is a me who is doing all these, thinking these things.
So that's what karma is? What
karma is, yes.
Okay.
So the karma that came in with you and encountered the conditions of your present, you know, this birth and this life experience, I'm not saying the karma is yours, okay? I'm saying this is conditioning. It's attached to you. So it's attached to you, and then it encounters your family of origin, and it all, you know, there's a big dust-up, and there is this illusion being created that I am a real thing that is doing this, experiencing it, feeling it. And that's an illusion. There isn't any such thing as you, as I, as me.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds crazy. And we have to consider it pretty intensely before we can actually begin to wrap our heads around the fact that is so. Now, a little example that can be fun to consider. There is nothing about you that was here when you arrived on this earth. Nothing. Not a cell in your body. Not anything. Nothing. And so the consciousness that inhabits form is what this is. And we because we don't pay very close attention, consider ourselves to be the same, even though every look in the mirror confirms the fact that I'm not.
I think I'm going to have to come back and listen to this again.
We can talk about it more at a later date.
I don't want to.
But that just gives you a feel for what karma is. And people believe that all of these tendencies are who they are. And they're not. And with this person that we started out talking about, it's really clear that these, you know, his paranoid thoughts are not him. That outbursts of emotion or hopelessness or despair are not him. And we all experience that within ourselves, but we don't believe that it's not us, even though if we step back a little, it's so obvious that it's just a passing show. In this minute I feel this, and the next minute I think that, and then I'm over there and I want to do this, but I don't like that. But was it that way 10 years ago, 20 years ago? 30 years ago? Was it that way when I was 16? Was it that way when I was 5? No.
So, okay. I guess I wasn't really clear about what I was going to talk about when I got on.
Well, you can listen to it again.
Yeah.
Then we can talk again.
Okay.
That's a lot to digest right now.
Yeah, and the situation's is challenging as well. So, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes.
In trying to figure it out in terms of what I'm learning. So that was, So that was helpful.
Good. Good.
Sure.
And let's talk again.
All righty.
Good.
Thanks, Barry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Bernice. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Virginia.
Hey, Virginia.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
What are you up to?
Well, great. Everything is great. Actually, I'm kind of in amazement, Sherry. I just feel like I'm having the same life I've always had, but everything is kind of amazing.
Yes, that's the old Jen. Everything is exactly the same, only completely different.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm just kind of astounded and very, very grateful. And particularly, I mean, in every aspect, but I'm noticing particularly in my relationships with people and my showing up, you know, on my job and just my showing up, life, everything. It's just like, oh, my gosh. it's just like everything that I always wanted is there.
Yes. And all that happened is the lights got turned on.
Yeah. Yes. That's exactly it. The lights got turned on. It was always there. Now I can see it.
Yeah.
Thank God. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and thank you. You're the one doing the practice.
Yes. Wow. Yes, that's right. And anyway, so I called partly because of a commitment to call and partly because the last time we spoke, I said I was going to call about this certain thing, which has to do with bringing everything into practice.
Mm-hmm.
And not leaving stuff, often I get told, you know, this is this, and you just need to go out and do this. And then maybe when it's done, you can talk about it. But for now, you just go do it. So it's kind of this process of that directs me to keep stuff outside, you know.
And, oh, yes. And so let me throw out another word.
Mm-hmm.
It wants you to keep things secret.
Secret, absolutely.
and it's not, you know, it's not just working on you that way, right?
Right.
I mean, everything that it can talk a person into keeping quiet about.
Right.
You know, you don't have to, everybody does it, you don't, I mean, why, you don't,
yeah.
People are going to, and
yeah.
get
right.
talked into keeping things secret, and then those secrets, of course, are what we can be tortured with.
Right. Right, the secrets are what we can be tortured with, and even they're so vague. Actually, they can be so vague that there may not be anything substantive there, but
yes.
Doesn't matter because there. Once I believe it, it can torture me with nothing. Like,
yes,
you know, like
yes.
For an example, is I was trying to. I actually signed up. I put a username on TalkShoe, you know. And actually, I used my name. I'm calling from different phones, so it's not registering right now, but I used my name. And there was like this big thing of, oh, no, don't put your name on there.
like you're
Virginia.
Not going to say it, and we're not going to know who you are, right?
I know. But I mean, exactly. But that's like how secretive it is. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You know? And how I could be tortured with something so ridiculous.
Yes. Yes. Well, and I would say again, that this is kind of like what we were talking about with Bernice, and then what we were, you know, when I just said you're not alone in this. I shouldn't have given such a long preamble. I forgot what I was going to. What did you just say?
Well, I was just saying how subtle, how
oh, yeah.
small
Thank
content.
You. Thank you.
You know,
thank
yeah.
you. That mm-hmm. just about everybody is being tortured with nothing.
With nothing. Yeah.
It's that. As you indicate, if we'll believe that there's something there, then we're willing to be tortured by it.
Right.
But it's nothing. I mean, I was just reading something that somebody wrote about an experience that he had when he was a little kid,
mm-hmm.
and it was traumatic for him,
mm-hmm.
and embarrassing and humiliating, and all of his life since then, the voice could come in and say, "Remember the time when," and you know, there's just that feeling of shame
right.
and humiliation and all of that. And what he finally got to is, it was nothing. It was nothing then,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it's certainly nothing 30 years later.
Right.
Yeah. And
right.
and so to me, that's just a perfect example of the kind of thing that people are suffering over
mm-hmm.
because they believe that what they're being told is true, and it's not. It's nothing. Nothing.
Right. Exactly. It's nothing. And the more secretive it is, or the more
mm-hmm.
the stuff that gets tucked away in the attics of the mind or wherever mm-hmm. it gets tucked away, has the most power, I guess.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So
that's why it would
yeah.
be fabulous if by the time we're 4 years old, we were taught just to say everything.
Right.
You know, whatever goes through your head, whatever, you know, and
right.
people would just go, oh, okay. Not, oh,
right.
you poor thing, or you're right, or no, that's not so. But
right.
just, that's what I'm experiencing. That's what I'm experiencing. All right, that's what you're experiencing.
Right. Yeah, you know, I think if you did that today, people would call it mental illness, you know. I mean,
yes.
I'm not trying to be funny, but I think that
no,
it's
I think
rare.
Right.
I think it's rare.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I also think...
You'd be autistic, or, you know, you'd
right.
be the equivalent of the Rain Man or something, where you're just,
right.
you're just saying everything that's going on with you all the time. And yet,
mm-hmm.
there'd be no secrets. There'd be a lot of freedom in it.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you, Sherry. There would be a lot of freedom in that. Yeah. Right. So that's what I'm putting out there. It's March 2013, still pretty early in the new year. And yeah.
Well, this is what you're going to turn the lights on next.
Right.
Right. So there are those attics in the mind or in the emotions or where,
mm-hmm.
as you say, wherever they're stored. So
mm-hmm.
there's a light switch there, and you're turning those switches on and
right.
bringing that stuff out into the light of day.
Yeah. Exactly.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And you'll be hearing from me. I'll be
good.
Revealing.
Keep on enjoying.
Keep on
yes.
enjoying. Absolutely. I will.
All right.
Thank you so much,
thanks,
Sherry.
Virginia.
Okay,
uh-huh.
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my goodness. This is Zoe from Buffalo.
Billy.
Yes.
Hello.
Zoe.
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 Oh, Zoe. How are you, Zoe?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Great. What's going on?
Well, first, there's a confession. Well, I have a plan of what I want to say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I wanted to kind of sneak two things in. First,
I guess that makes you a bad person, huh, by the way you said that?
Yeah, that's the implication, is
okay,
that
good.
You know, I'm
good
doing
work
it wrong.
For now.
So, I just wanted to throw that out there first, that I'm doing it wrong because this is completely planned out.
Okay, very good, very good. We're on to you. Go ahead.
And the first thing, I wanted to put a plug in for being a monthly donor.
Thank you.
First, because it's amazing, and second, because I've been enjoying the Sunday monastery discussion recording so much.
Yes. Yeah. That is one of the benefits, isn't it?
It's an amazing benefit. They're priceless.
Yeah, you know, we really have the ability to be in group a lot with this Sangha, don't we?
Yeah.
A chance to be with Sangha a lot. Yeah, and that's one great way to do it.
Yeah.
Hmm? Well, what else? Thank you for that.
Well, the only other thing that occurred to me to say was that this morning I decided that I wasn't going to indulge any conversation about how I was feeling, or because I have head cold, and I went about my usual day going to work and everything, and I just kind of made that decision early on in the day to not indulge that, and I had a wonderful day.
Good.
And it really worked, and it was so easy and simple, and you know.
Yes. You can see why conditioning works so hard to convince people that we do not have a choice about our life experience. Things happen, and there's a way to feel about those things, and when those things happen, you just feel that way. That's all there is to it. There's no choice. And what you just proved to yourself in a really big way is you have absolute choice about your life experience.
Yeah.
You can feel any way you want to feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I said, all right, I'm just going to be really gentle and just really kind, you know, and just that was my focus, was just really, and I didn't plan it, you know, it just occurred to me in the morning, you know what, no, I'm not going to indulge that, you know, about, I wish I was at home, or, I don't want to be at work. And
now, you know, of course, that's the whole, what you just said is the whole point of awareness practice. So what you said is, in case you didn't hear it, I didn't plan it. It just occurred to me. And that's our experience when we are present in the moment. It occurs to us. Life just drops in the intelligence that we know, that we need in order to accomplish whatever it is that we're setting out to do. It's just there for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's exactly
yeah,
right.
We
can live there all the time.
Yeah, I think I've been doing a lot of efforting and striving and trying to make everything happen. And
what a great experience of what's possible. On every level, that it will be given to you what you need to know in order to get on about your life. You have a choice. You can choose what you want to experience. You can choose kindness and gentleness to be how you approach yourself and the world, and that will be the experience that you have. Big, big. You had a huge practice day.
I did.
Yeah, you did. That's great. Well, thank you for letting us know.
Thank you.
I, after this conversation, I'm a little less inclined to believe that you really are the bad person that the voices would like you to think you are. So you might tell them that they're wrong once again.
Oh, that's good to hear. Thank you.
Yeah. Good night, Zoe.
Thank you to both of you. Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Karen.
Hi.
Karen?
Hi. Hello. I'm doing pretty good. I'm calling in because I am one of those people that that stays really quiet.
Wow.
And so I'm trying to go up against that, and that's the big reason that I'm calling in.
That's
new. Yeah.
And so you want to tell us a little bit about that, or is there something else you'd like to tell us about? Sounds like a very good practice project.
Oh, well, you know, I almost hung up, and right before I decided not to do that, I took out my earbuds because I knew I was going to be the next person to be unmuted, not for any reason that I saw, but I just had that sense, and so that's how I managed to stay, you know, to actually end up speaking on the call. And it happens to me across the board at retreats, definitely calling in to the radio show, all kinds of ways, in practice in particular, that I'm supposed to stay really quiet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're supposed to be quiet all the time so that the voices can direct your life without interference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then nobody really knows what's going on with me or how, you know, it's conditioning doesn't get exposed as much if I'm quiet, and but all the good stuff doesn't get brought out either.
Well, you get to feel bad all the way around.
Yeah.
Right, you don't really get to participate.
Yeah.
You feel left out. Nobody really knows what's going on with you, so people aren't able to be there for you or reflect you or support you or anything like that. And so you can before long feel isolated and kind of abandoned, and life is just not that much fun. And golly gee, your only companion then is that hateful voice in your head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of it is that in order to go up against that, I have to do things like I have to participate, because that's the only way, that's how I don't follow that. That's how I go
that's
up
right.
against it.
That's right. You call into the radio show and you stay on, right?
Yeah.
And you talk. And if you're in on retreat, you put your hands in gusho and you say whatever is going on with you, right?
Yeah.
At group, you talk about what's going on with you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing on retreats that it tells me is that it tells me whatever you do, don't make gusho until you've been here a while and you're more centered. Like, so that's the way it can keep me quiet, at least for the first half of the retreat. And sometimes all the way through, because, you know.
You never get centered enough.
Yeah.
Oh.
So anyway.
And, you know, I got to tell you, I love that, because now it's an expert on being centered.
Yeah.
Right?
It is
the experience. It is the experience of being out of center.
Yes.
And it's going to tell you when you're centered enough to speak. You've got to love that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it tells me to keep my mouth shut in case, you know, it comes out of it. I mean,
yeah. It takes such good care of you, doesn't it?
I know. It really does.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's great.
So anyway,
I know you're started down the path of doing that, and I hope you just really put the old pedal to the metal, as they say, and just shut it down.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. because there's no sense.
Yeah, there is no sense, and there are always plenty of things in practice and in life to talk about and share and put out there. So today this is what got put out there, but it feels really good to just get it out there.
Yeah, and it's all we really do together.
Yeah.
You know? It's all we do, and it's making that choice and making that movement that practice is about. Conditioning would tell us we have to get somewhere, be some certain way, or have some level of understanding or clarity or enlightenment or whatever it is. But all we're doing is moment by moment turning our attention away from egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate and bringing it back here and participating. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
something.
Thank you for doing that.
And then, yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for reflecting that. And I guess you'll be hearing from me more now.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I'll enjoy that.
Okay.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Karen. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Jan in California.
Hey, Jan.
Hey, you know what? I could only listen by phone, and I don't want to keep someone else from talking, from sharing.
Do you have anything to tell us about?
Oh, I always do. All right.
Yeah, so we'll talk and then they can talk next. How about that?
Okay. That would be wonderful. I don't know why. I guess I'm in the camp of conditioning to tell me no, it's not your turn. It's great, isn't it? Anyway.
Oh, it's great. I'll tell you, it's great. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what's been going on for me is I just got back from some traveling and watching how travel is one of the most challenging times for maintaining any kind of practice or what the expectation of practice is. And then when I get home, I was watching particularly yesterday of this paralysis that sort of set in, like if I'm not moving, physically moving, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to focus on. I don't know a better way to describe it. And I just sat there with a smile on my face going, wow, the stakes must be really big right now.
Uh-huh. Now, let me ask you this. Are you held to higher standards of practice when you're traveling than when you're at home?
No, I'm not. But there is an expectation, which, of course, is very ill-defined. And... Mm-hmm. On one of my guidance calls, the monthly donor guidance calls we have the opportunity to do, on one of those I shared about the challenge of travel, and it was so wonderful because, I know the monks travel, have travel, and they're faced with this, and you certainly do, and how does that work for you? And it was basically just kindness. You know, you practice from a place of kindness of what's going to work depending on what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was terrifically helpful. But it's just interesting because I guess it's one of those, it's content that conditioning knows can get me or has gotten me
mm-hmm.
and continues to try to work it. So,
yeah, and what I was curious about is if you notice a tendency for it to try to talk you out of practicing in your home, and then make you believe you should be practicing to some high standard when you're traveling, because that's the kind of thing conditioning really specializes in.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would, yeah. That's not what's going on for me. It's mainly just feel bad about whatever's going on.
Right.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And so if I'm, let's see. So when I'm traveling, no matter what I do to practice, it's not enough or it's not the right way. It doesn't matter where I am. That's what's become really clear. It's just that because traveling, you know, it's different. Everything's new many times. It moves in.
Yeah, you know, I think what you just said is a really important piece of the puzzle. Conditioning is really threatened by new. Because you, any of us, but talking to you, you're paying much closer attention, which you just naturally have to do. You know, if you're in a strange place, you don't know where things are. You don't know where you're going. You don't know how to get from A to Z. You don't know about food. You don't know where bathrooms are, right? So it's you're just naturally more present than you're required to be when you're in your own environment. You know, there it likes to just kind of, you are getting very sleepy. because, you know, I mean, I can drive to the grocery store and never have a conscious thought, right?
Right, yeah.
But it would definitely be in its best interest to try to get your attention for itself as much as possible, because it's so much harder for it to do.
That's really helpful. That's really helpful. Just the noon, just that correlation between the two, because that rings true. But I guess what was a surprise to me is yesterday sitting sort of in a stupor. Really, it
and
was,
now you're on the couch.
Thinking, well, you know, I know there are many things to do here, and I do want to, there were some practicings from the class I didn't get to finish that I wanted to do. And I am not kidding. It was like I physically couldn't move. And it did bring a smile to my face, because I thought, practice, we know something's going on here.
Right. Well, and transitions, you know, I mean, we've talked about this as a sangha for years, that most damage is done to us in transition, because we get easily distracted in transitions. And so, you know, there you were. Part of you is still traveling, right? You haven't come to a complete stop yet. You don't really have a direction that you're going for where you are now. And so you're just in this in-between place. And instead of us being allowed to say, yeah, well, that's where I am right now. You know, I'm just in this in-between place. I'm adjusting. I'm transitioning. Everything has to be what's wrong with this. We know that. So that's the version of what's wrong with the fact that you need some time to readjust.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, this is really helpful. Well, I'm glad I talked.
I am too. I think it's always a good idea.
It is, and I know that. Yeah. It's just, you know, I don't know why, especially now, maybe it's lack of sleep and things, but it does seem so, it's very comical. You know, if we, I guess when we've been doing practice long enough and we don't get caught in identification, or the moments, I should say, that we don't, then it is very comical in a way.
It's funny.
It's very predictable.
It really is. It really is. And when we're identified, it is so deadly serious borders on tragic. And then we step back a little and it's like, oh, it's a comedy, not a drama.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for those reminders that continue to make it a comedy instead of a tragedy.
Yeah, you're welcome, and welcome home.
Thank you. Thanks,
right.
Michael.
Thanks, Jan. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jan. You're listening to Open Air. We're going to hear an important message, Sherry, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Greta.
Hi, Greta.
Hi. Well, I wasn't expecting to get on either.
Good. Lots of surprises tonight.
Yeah. But I heard part of the last caller, and I've had similar experiences while traveling and feeling like I was not really having a lot of trouble with conditioned mind, and I'm just starting to see today is my first day home, and I'm starting to notice the ways in which it operates.
Mm-hmm. So while you were traveling, you were really present in a way that is not the habitual orientation of life that you have at home.
Yeah. And I was, you know, I've just been kind of looking at that, because even though, you know, there were times when it was stressful and parts of me would get concerned or worried because, you know, there was a story going about, well, maybe there's going to be snow, or maybe this isn't going to work out, or, you know, just I could see the condition behavior and the condition processes that would get going. For the most part, I had ample opportunity to just notice it and see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And to, you know, work with, well, what about just trusting life?
Mm-hmm.
And
so it's kind of it becomes a retreat.
In a sense, you know, it's funny because all of the normal practice supports, you know, the routines and the daily rituals for meditation and exercise and things like that are not there, but you develop your other routines and practice that you do by having some kind of routine related to travel.
Yes.
Yeah, and then just you know, kind of knowing that you want it to work out. In this case, we were in a camper, so it's two people in a tiny little space, really letting go of attachment to things being a certain way.
It was a retreat.
Well, it was very effective because I just got to hear so much yin 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 yin. And it was like, well, maybe, but you know what? That is hardly the battle we're going to pick right now.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
Then worrying about something, for example, one of my worries was we were in a national park and it was going to get, I mean, the story was it was going to get really crowded because of upcoming holiday weekend. And yet every day, you know, there was more to do there, and there were, you know, so part of me felt like I needed to get away from this place before this horrible thing happened. And then part of me was like, well, you know, there's these things to do today, so let's just do that, and then we'll see what happens next, and we'll just see what happens next.
Uh-huh.
And it worked out. You know, I finally made a phone call, and I said, you know, to a potential place to go, and they were like, well, we're not crowded at all. Oh, okay, well, we can end up there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it all worked out. So it was a retreat in the sense too of just trusting the process and having it be life's process and not all having to have it all thought out, you know, and figured out, and at the same time trying to give some support to the parts of me that were concerned.
Yeah, and you know, just the way you describe it, to me, captures the whole thing. So you go on this trip to have a nice time, to have a good time. And having a good time is really easy if we decide that what we want is to have a good time.
Right.
If what we want is to have a good time, as long as everything goes a certain way that appears in my imagination ahead of time, then it's not going to be a fun trip at all.
Right, right. And, you know, the experience I had was that it was relative, you know, once we sort of got our routine, it was relatively easy, and I didn't feel all of that conditioning because it was a different routine than my home routine, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, you know, I didn't really feel like I had to entertain a conversation telling me what I was doing wrong, or I shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't have said that, or, you know, all the stuff that just, you know, I've been home, I was home for 5 seconds, barely. I just went to the post office and I started getting, oh, you shouldn't have done, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, maybe it's the environment here.
Maybe they've moved in there. And they are, that's now where they live, and they just sent a couple of folks along with you on this trip, but the majority of them are still living there in the house.
Well, that could be. But, you know, what was so interesting was I felt really supported while I was traveling, even though I wasn't doing my routine of meditation, exercise, and recording and listening. I just felt supported by practice because I was reassured continually while I might go off, you know, I might have a conditioned conversation. There was always coming back.
Yes.
So, you know, I was always being brought back, and I was coming back to awareness and to this the place that let me know that my practice is pretty solid, even though I'm, you know, I might not do these day-to-day things. I don't need conditioning to tell me, well, you're not doing that, therefore.
That's right.
I was in awareness. You know, I felt really supported there.
And I think that's good. You know, in fitness, we're told that a rest is as important as a workout.
Mm-hmm.
So if we always go at fitness, or if we did the same fitness routine every day, it would cease to be effective. So in the same way, practicing in different ways with different schedules and different really is a tremendous support for our practice. And vacations, of course, time away, are designed to give us a break from our regular routine. We go do something else. We come back with having enjoyed that and a heightened appreciation for our regular life. That's all good.
Yeah, and real appreciation for practice because
yes.
Today, you know, I went for a walk. I had my recorder. I had my other MP3 player. So it was really, I just felt like, okay, well, I've got this. I see this process. I want the mentor to help me. I heard some things on my recorder that was the group recordings, and somebody was talking about asking the mentor. So, okay. Well, that'll be novel because I have my tendency to figure it out, but I don't want that right now. What I want is to stay in the mind of practice and get over this habitual behavior that I often see when I come back from vacation. There's a stack of paperwork that's been waiting for me. I have to deal with it because it's time sensitive, but I don't want to. Okay, well, what can we do about that? And I just fell right back into a routine with using those practice supports that, you know, I know are there. So I didn't have to entertain a conditioned story that said, well, you haven't been recording and listening for 3 weeks, therefore.
Right. You're a sinner.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess it's all good. And, you know, the best thing about it is, well, then there isn't anything wrong. So that felt really, really
yes.
good.
Yeah, yeah, that's fabulous. Yeah, because even if you had been a complete profligate, there still isn't anything wrong.
Yes.
You know, all we hope is that we come back to conscious awareness. There are no beatings. We see the path open in front of us. We get on it and go. There. That's all there is to it.
Right, and what I see is there was so much freedom in being gone, like you said, maybe these parts or these voices are just staying home. Maybe that was a good thing. There was just so much freedom. I just feel like, okay, so this freedom is possible all the time.
That's right.
And it's not about where I am or what I'm doing. And while I appreciate all the practice support, I can see how much my life is in practice now, and I can see that I can have that choice.
Yes. Yeah. It's always there for you, whatever the circumstances of your life.
Without.
That's an important thing to get from a vacation, isn't it?
Yeah, because the belief is that you have to do something and that awareness is like your reward.
Yeah.
Instead of
who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm deeply grateful for practice because it works.
Yeah, so. It does work. Oh, praise be. Thank you, Greta.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Greta. Sherry, we're getting close to the hour here. Would you like to talk to another person, or shall we call it an evening?
Let's call it an evening, shall we?
Okay.
And then we'll just do the same thing again in a week. How about that?
Perfect.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. It was great.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night.